Half-Life 2 Deathmatch is so much fun.
I see a gravity gun.
Yeah. Yep. It's a.
That's interesting.
You have a melee weapon and you have a gravity gun that is sort of a melee. It's a ranged melee weapon, essentially. You just throw stuff at people. It's great. It's absolutely great.
It's Games Turned It On.
So, are you still playing Pokemon Go?
I am.
What level are you?
I can't remember. Let me check real quick. I think I'm at 11. I take it you're at a high level.
So I hit 19 in the walk home from work today. But you're in the double digits. Like, you can fight gyms and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm at 11.
So I think, I don't remember offhand what level you start getting Great Balls.
Wait, Great Balls? What does that mean?
So Great Balls just have a higher chance of catching Pokemon.
I feel like the game itself, I've been playing it pretty much every day, and I've been trying to do everything that I can to level up and everything. I think the game itself is a terrible game. But the thing is there's no game, there's only a gimmick. And I'm sure they'll add more gameplay content, and I'm sure that gameplay content will somehow be monetized. Because the first thing that popped in my head when you mentioned the Pokemon game was how are they going to monetize this? How are they going to make money? Because they're in a partnership with Google or something like that for use with the maps or something.
Yeah, they had like a partnership with, I don't remember if they got sold by or bought by Google. But because they did, the same company did Ingress, and they share like a lot of map data. Either got it from Google Maps or helped. I don't something yeah. like that. But yeah, so we should mention this is as of recording, like the game's been out for like about 2 weeks now.
Yeah. So by the time this episode airs, I might be eating some crow here, but I kind of doubt it.
I mean, so all I really know is I've been playing it a ton. Yeah. Like, I don't disagree with you. Like, there's really not a lot of game there, and it's definitely
there's
nothing
no game
like
here. There's none whatsoever.
And I was gonna say, and like, it doesn't really share a lot with Pokemon, except that it, like, because the gameplay elements of Pokemon are actually really simple. So it's interesting that they opted to not use that like battle system. They kept the type chart, which I actually like, although it's kind of making me feel weird that I don't remember it like offhand. I keep having to look it up.
Yeah.
But I actually think for the most part, I'm actually really glad they went with a much simpler method, because if I had to battle every single Pokemon that I've caught so far, like I checked my thing, I've caught like 1,000 something.
Yeah.
If I had to battle every single one of those, I would be bored. But it's just like a couple seconds, throw a Pokeball and like be on my way.
Look, that's not what I'm saying, okay? I feel like you should have the option to either catch them or to battle them and bring your XP up, and then have the option when you battle them to catch them or else just defeat them. And if you just defeat them, then you don't catch them. So it would add a new layer of challenge to it while also leveling up your Pokemon. But obviously that conflicts with Google's ideas of how they want to make money on this. And I feel like the important thing to remember is that Google is a massive, terrifying corporation. They are not going to let slip any opportunity to make every single dollar they can off of this partnership.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting though, because like, I mean, they made this very clear decision to like opt out of like the battle system, and I think it's a lot to do with a plan for what the PvP is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they decided to go with was make the catching really, really simple and easy, because that way you can just do it while you're walking.
Yeah.
And kind of encourage people to just, like, go out and about and, like, drop a lure somewhere and, like, go to the park and make it really easy to, like, walk around. Like, you keep looking at your phone, but you don't have to stare at it the entire time. Because, like, we'll vibrate and be like, oh, there's a Pokemon nearby.
Yeah.
And
which is handy.
Right. And I think the, once we get PvP, those will be more, like, more gamified with, like, slightly longer. I think that is going to be really interesting. And I'm really excited to see what direction they go with that.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I'm not saying that this game doesn't have potential. And God, with God as my witness, I absolutely hope that this game turns out to be the most awesome mobile game and one of the most awesome games that has ever been created. And I could definitely see PvP being really cool. There's a couple of things that really irritate the shit out of me about the game, though. Chief among them is the fact that it sucks your battery power up like I've never seen in my, oh my fucking God, life. Yeah. Like, that's fucking unacceptable. And in this day and age, there's absolutely no reason. I can run my fucking Google Maps app and find where I'm going to go and not have half my battery power left by the end of my trip. With this app, if I don't leave it at the lowest brightness setting, then it drains my battery within an hour or two. And the fact that you have to leave it open and in the front of all other apps in order to be able to get anywhere, to be able to do anything with it, the fact that you have to walk X amount of distance in order to hatch those eggs, which on the one hand I think is a really cool feature because it has managed to get my fat ass up off my computer desk and out in the world actually getting some semblance of exercise. But the fact that you have to leave it open the entire time is incredibly obnoxious, and they should be ashamed of themselves. But again, this is, you know, the most popular mobile app that probably has ever been, and it's gotten so much media press attention, and everybody on the street corner is doing it. So
I've met a lot of people, just like, I'll see a lore down the street, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go, I'll hit that lore and like catch up, or like I'll see something on my map, like, oh, I want that, and then there'll just be like 10 people standing around and you just start talking, and like,
yeah,
that more than anything has been my favorite part of just like walking around with either friends of mine or like bumping into people who are just doing the same thing.
Okay, fine. See, I can appreciate how there is this idea that...
No, I know. I'm just voicing my curiosities.
Well, no, I can totally appreciate where you're coming from, you know? And when you said that, you know, I was like, wow, you know, he's definitely got a point there. Then I started thinking about it, and it occurred to me that this is one of those situations where we have this idea as a society that... Because of our, we always see people on their cell phones and they're doing Facebook and texting and all kinds of shit like that instead of interacting with other people, instead of actually being in the world. And when we go to a concert, we're actually filming it instead of actually seeing it there. And I can agree with some aspects of that, right? The problem is that what it seems like is that, first off, I remember a time before smartphones. I am that old where I remember when cell phones were basically just the flip phones, and that was like the Razr came out. That was the fanciest shit you can get. Everybody wanted one, and there's no smartphone capability to that. And I remember being on the buses and public transit and out in the world. And back then, when you were out in the world, people still weren't interacting with each other. People still were just ignoring everybody around them. They were just looking forward instead of down at their phone. So that's number one. Number two, Pokemon Go seems to have gotten a reputation for getting people out there and interacting and laughing and that sort of thing. And that's great, except for my problem with that is that it seems like we think that we're actually interacting when we're really just having a 2-minute conversation on an app, which is a nothing conversation. You're not learning anything about the person. You're not building long-lasting relationships with the person. You're not enriching your life or anybody else's life. You're basically just doing the same shit that happens anytime you go to a marathon, you go to an event. Maybe you have like a 2-minute conversation about the band. Oh yeah, I saw this band last time at this venue or whatever. And it's not actual human interaction. It's not actually getting any kind of connection with the person. I mean, it's a minor connection, but because everybody's doing it, it's like, who gives a shit? And yes, that's me being a cynical fucking curmudgeon, but that's basically what occurred to me on that. And the app sucks.
Wait, was your first example of a place you meet people a marathon?
Well, that's the first thing that popped into my head. It's a fucking thing. People go to marathons, you know?
I think Boston's kind of an exception.
All I'm saying, look, you know, it's one of those things where, like, okay, well, what about the... You go to a fireworks display or whatever, you know? Maybe you have... If you have kids, if you're a parent or you have pets, you'll have a two-minute conversation about your kids or your pets or whatever, you know? That's just as... That's essentially the equivalent conversation that you're having with this Pokemon app. And again, I'm not trying to trash people who like it, you know? People like it, great. Go for it, you know? Fucking do that app like nothing else. But I'm just saying that it's one of those situations where people are saying, oh my God, this is so revolutionary. And it doesn't seem to be doing that much different than anything else is happening besides the fact that it's Pokemon skinned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see, right? It's at this point in the conversation, it's 2 weeks old, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy part, not even launched in Japan, and they're the people who made Pokemon?
That is mind-blowing to me. That I find that hard to believe.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look that up just to verify, because I don't believe you. Is that true?
No, that isn't 100% true.
All right, well, I'll take your word on that, just because I'm too fucking lazy to Google it. I would like to add, I give the app 6 weeks to 3 months before everybody's bored of it. Because I had a lot of fun when I first started playing it. But after a couple of days, catching all the different Pokemon and the difficulty with finding any new Pokemon and anything else I can do with the game, it got really old really fast. And the gimmick of catching Pokemon that appear to be in the real world got pretty old pretty quick.
Well, so I actually think this will be pretty interesting because I'm like super, super into it, and you've already kind of like gotten lukewarm. So
oh
in like
God.
A month, it will
so
be actually be really
confused.
Interesting to see where we both kind of land on it.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I am still playing it. The main reason I am playing it is just because of the mechanic whereby hatching eggs by walking X amount of kilometers is actually getting me some semblance of exercise. It's getting me out of the house, and I feel like that is a good thing. I'm not interacting with people because I'm a shy person, believe it or not. I get around other people, and all of a sudden I clam up, and I'm like, oh my God, there's all these people around, and they're doing stuff, and I don't like it, you know? It's not so much I don't like it, I'm just uncomfortable around strangers, you know?
Yeah.
So. Because I've heard of stories people are talking about going out into the world. They have social anxiety, but it's getting them out there to catch the Pokemon. They're actually interacting with people. And I gotta say, if somebody's shy, they're still gonna be shy playing this game. I've run into plenty of people who were playing this and, you know, we've shared a smile or whatever, but they're still shy at the end of the day. I'm still shy at the end of the day. Two people who are shy are still not going to interact, most likely, if they're just because of this game.
Yeah, well, it's baby steps, right? I mean, like, I understand. I sort of understand social anxiety. I definitely, like, I'm one of those people who's just like, oh man, new people! Everyone talk to me!
Yeah.
There's a Pidgey here.
Yeah.
But, like, I totally get, like, how difficult it can be to talk to strangers. I think Pokemon's great for that because you have a topic. Like, if you want to be social, you have this topic. You'd be like, oh, hey, did you catch this thing? Like, what level are you? What team are you?
Yeah, unless you're embarrassed that you're a fucking 35-year-old grown-ass man playing ostensibly a kid's game.
I don't know. Let's not judge ourselves too harshly.
Well, I know that I'm in a wide amount of company here, but I don't know. I always feel... I grew up in an old-fashioned era where playing a game like this is cause for ridicule, you know? So it's one of those things where if I were to be caught with my friends or around my friends at the time playing this sort of thing, I might get made fun of and they wouldn't let it go. Of course, I also had lots of asshole friends growing up, but...
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty common experience for a lot of people, which is like one of the great things about being an adult is you don't have to deal with those people anymore.
Yeah. Well, also at the same time, I've gotten to the point where I've been just sort of embracing my nerdiness and things like getting into Star Wars or Star Trek or video games or comic books. I don't see that as
a podcast about video games.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, like that. Exactly. So, of course, we're also living in a time where nerds are definitely becoming the most prominent money makers and spenders of money. So there's a lot more respect to them because mm-hmm. a movie like The Avengers is making huge amounts of money. And a movie about anything else is struggling to catch up. All right.
So, all right. Team Fortress. We're only 20 minutes in.
Yeah. Well, about 15 minutes in. Anyways. So, Dan, why don't you tell us about this game for anybody who hasn't heard of it, which is probably going to be like maybe three people.
So, so we play Team Fortress 2, which is a... I guess technically an update or a remake of a Half-Life 1 mod called Team Fortress that was a class-based first-person shooter.
Mm.
And so this is a class-based first-person shooter. There are 9 characters, and they each have their own role. And you just play shooter things, you know, control point, King of the Hill, capture the flag.
Multiplayer only.
Yeah, so it's multiplayer only. So it's a lot like Counter-Strike. It's Counter-Strike, just... team-based, essentially.
Mm. Although it is worth mentioning. It is worth mentioning you can play against bots, and there is even a...
So that's a new thing. Well, you mean bots as in, like, AI. There's also a, like, horde mode where you play against robots.
Yeah. I tried getting into that. I wasn't able to get it to work.
I played a little bit, but I really wanted to kind of, like... So this is me revisiting the game. I think... Was this your first time? Or you played it a little bit before?
I played it a little bit before. I couldn't tell you how much it was. I think I played maybe an hour or two before because I couldn't figure out how to... Because the thing is I was trying to play against the AI, and I was doing very poorly. I wasn't able to figure things out. And this time around, I played against people, so I inexplicably had a much easier time of it. I don't know why that is the case. Maybe it's because the AI doesn't get flustered like new players do, but
I think the AI will also pick
optimal team.
You'll pick like optimal teams, but not so like they'll pick optimal teams. So they always have like they'll have the medics and stuff that will assist each other. Whereas you play with real people, you have 5 pyros and a scout.
Yeah.
So well, I guess okay. So I mean, the 9 classes are all standardly named like soldier, scout, medic, heavy, demo, sniper.
Okay, so heavy.
Engineer. There we go.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm missing.
Heavy, sniper. I'm looking at him right now. Got the medic, the scout, the soldier, the...
Oh, spy. That's the one I'm
missing. Sapper, spy, engineer, pyro, sniper, and the heavy.
Yeah, and they're all... Like, those names are incredibly descriptive of what each class is, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah, and the way that they look is very much it's a very good representation of what to expect from that player. Whether you're playing as it or you're seeing it out in the field, you can pretty much guess at a glance what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so this does a great job. The whole theme in general is actually super great. They do an amazing job of letting you know at a glance exactly what you're going to see. Like, the scout runs super fast, and he's like, thin and like kind of lanky and like leans in. He's dressed to run, right? Like, he's got sneakers on compared to like the boots of the other characters.
He's also really skinny and small.
Yeah, and just everything kind of flows together really well. And so, have you seen the meet the and the class videos, like Meet the Engineer, Meet the Spy?
Yeah, I have.
So I rewatched them today just as like a reminder to myself, because I remember enjoying them at the time, and I went back, and they're still great. I mean, I love them all, but Meet the Spy is definitely my favorite, because it's just there's so much flavor to the way the world functions and they were adding more to it constantly, which was super great.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I want to ask you if you have ever played Team Fortress 1.
So I own it, and I've always wanted, like, I bought it with the intention of, like, oh, I'd love to, let me go back and play one of them. I never have.
Okay.
I've installed it, it sits and stares at me, but every time I'm in the mood of, like, oh, maybe I'll try it, I just play Team Fortress 2 instead.
Do you have any idea about how it compares to a game like Counter-Strike, because that seems to be more the more what it looks like. Although looking at the pictures on the Steam page, it looks like there's a sniper class and a heavy class.
Yeah, so it has all the classes, but they are, so Team Fortress and Counter-Strike are both Half-Life mods, which is why they look so much alike.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wouldn't be able to give you a good comparison between that and Counter-Strike.
Just because you're not familiar.
Right. I mean, I've literally never logged into it, but I suspect they're very similar because they're essentially the same base game, right?
Gotcha.
And I mean, even Team Fortress 2 is in a lot of ways also still Counter-Strike. It just has a lot of other stuff on, like, along with it.
Yeah, except for I've never played Counter-Strike myself, but from what I've gathered, it's a standard style FPS game where multiplayer, obviously, where you get to choose your loadout, I'm assuming.
Well, Counter-Strike, you buy your weapons.
Uh-huh, okay.
So there is a loadout, sort of, because you can be like, oh, I like this gun, I will buy it if I have enough money for it. Mm-hmm. But you can also, like, when you kill someone, they drop their weapon, so you're like, oh, I like that guy's gun, I'm going to take it.
Oh, wow. Can you keep it?
Yeah, so if you win the round, you keep your items into the next round. So, because some of the better guns are very expensive, you earn money by killing people and winning rounds. Mm-hmm. So if you want the, like, 50 caliber sniper rifle, you need to win a couple of rounds and buy it. And if you survive, you keep it with you, so you don't need to buy it again.
I gotcha. I don't know if you can remember, but if you could tell us a little bit about what your first impression upon playing this for the first time was.
Oh, I loved it. I had heard a lot of stuff about Team Fortress, and when they announced the second one, people were getting really hyped up about it, and I was still super into Counter-Strike, so I was excited for Team Fortress 2 because I'd heard great things. And it came in the orange box, which was Team Fortress 2, was Portal, and it was Half-Life 2, which I already owned.
All the Half-Life games. So Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, right?
Yeah. Right. It had the episodes, which those are great. If
it's
you haven't played them.
So fucking confusing trying to figure that out, though, because it's like Half-Life 2, and then I was playing Half-Life 2 Episode 1, and I thought I got those mixed up. I didn't know what the fuck was going on with those, but anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. But
fucking stupid-ass naming conventions.
So, I bought it for Team... I bought the Iron Box exclusively for Team Fortress 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, no one knew what Portal was at the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was the release of Portal. And I bought it for Team Fortress 2. I played it for a couple dozen hours. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, there's these other games. I should probably give them a spin. Like, what is this Portal game? Mm-hmm. So I played Portal for a little bit. And every 15 minutes, I'd be like, when did the game start? Because I thought it was another first-person shooter.
Well, it's a perpetual tutorial, basically.
Well, right. But, like, I kept expecting...
Shooting, yeah.
At some point, they'd be like, here's your gun. Here's the enemies. Because I thought... Portals and like an actual just like murder simulator.
Yeah,
would have been really good.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if they were to do a mod or another game where they use the Portal gun as an integral part of the first person shooting experience. So say somebody's hidden behind something, you shoot a portal behind them and then you can shoot them or shank them.
Yeah, well, so people actually did make a couple mods that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about this Source engine, that it's like really easy for people to work in.
Mm-hmm.
Because people make some amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's one of them. It's super good. I recommend checking out videos of it.
There's entire games that are made through the Source engine, it seems like.
I mean, a lot of this stuff started out as mod, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Team Fortress is a mod. It wasn't on the Source engine, like this was pre-Source.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that same design methodology of like making their engine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they know what makes good things, right?
Yeah. When I first played this, I had a lot of difficulty with it just because I was trying to play against the AI and because I thought that was the way to go. First time playing it, didn't know anything about it. I heard or I had read online all kinds of horrible, horrible, horrible things about new players messing up the game, so you damn well better make sure you know what you're doing when you play it. And once it went free to play... They do the same thing that they always do. oh my God, the new free-to-play players are ruining the game, etc.
I think that's every game with like a really...
Yeah, anytime it goes free-to-play, then they all get butthurt that they paid money for something that now everybody's getting to play for free.
Oh, I don't even think it's the free-to-play thing. I mean, any game where people play it a lot will be accusatory towards new players of not being good.
Yeah.
Because they don't remember when they first started playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, naturally, they're going to assume that they've always been good. So.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah, that's my point, right? Like, that group is always of just veteran people are often not sympathetic towards new players.
Yeah. Otherwise, a standard first-person shooter experience, but the...
Because standard is a weird thing to say, right? Because this is a very old game, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me finish.
In theory. Okay, yeah, sorry.
This is otherwise a standard first-person shooter-style game, but it has additional features, like, for instance, the mechanic can build turrets and the ammo dispensers and the portals, the entrance and the exit to them. Then you have the medic, who basically just shoots the healing ray. You have the sapper, who shoots the grenades, and the pyro, who shoots flames, and the spy, who has another unique mechanic where he can select, he takes out a disguise kit and he can imitate anybody on the other team, and then he can sap the turrets and that sort of thing. So it seems pretty interesting to me that there's no assault rifle to be had in the game. It's the only first-person shooter I've ever played where there's no assault rifle.
Right, well, right, because the soldier is the rocket launcher, then the heavy is the heavy with the machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the scout, which is like the fast assault class, uses a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works. I don't really think there's a place for kind of like an assault rifle class in this like pantheon. I think it works really well this way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not familiar enough with games development to figure how that sort of thing could be balanced in.
Mean from like a balance sense. I think assault classes tend to be the one that if you're new to a game, you'd often be like, oh, well, this is the closest to the other things I've done, so I'll kind of like lean into this.
Yeah.
I think by not having that, you force someone to pick into one of these 9 classes, and it kind of pushes you into that class structure rather than just the I'm going to do a bunch of damage right now sort of mentality.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, so, okay, that being said, I take it you were a big fan of the engineer?
Well, big fan is probably a stretch. I'd say I tended to favor the engineer because it allowed me to kind of stay back and out of the fray. I liked maintaining the turret and building stuff, but I felt a limited amount of effectiveness. The turret definitely seemed to get the majority of all my kills, and as you know, is obvious. But it felt like every time I tried building the teleporter, nobody ever used it. The dispensers were used okay, I guess, but I just didn't feel all that effective. And I found the engineer class to be either frustrating to play as because my turrets kept getting destroyed immediately before they ended up finishing deployment, or else once I started getting comfortable with it, I felt really bored playing as it because it wasn't
right,
really
doing
anything.
Yeah, you're waiting around for people to walk into your turret.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's why you gotta get on spy check. Just hit everything with your wrench.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because your game as the engineer often becomes the protect my stuff from spies.
Yeah.
Right, like, because your two big things are, where do I find the best place to put these things down, and then how do I keep the spies away?
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm not a big fan of the engineer because I struggle to not play the, like, faster-paced classes.
Yeah.
Mostly scout and medic. So, like, I don't like to build the turret and sit there and kind of, like, repair it and keep it safe.
Yeah.
I feel less engaged. And not that like it's a great class and it's still fun, but it's like not my playstyle, so I find it I struggle with it when I try to roll as it.
Yeah.
So who else did you put a lot of time into?
Nobody really. I tried a little bit of every class. The ones that I spent the most time in were probably the Scout and a little bit of the Demo Man, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning. Since you said that, the whole idea is keeping your spies away. The tutorial for this game starts off okay, and then it just ends, which is really fucking shitty. If they had had any introduction to the rest of the classes and how they interact, it would have been much better, but I guess you're expected to seek out guides in the internet and put in 2 or 3 hours worth of study time just to figure out how to play the fucking game. So, it is Valve game after all.
So I don't even know if there was a tutorial when it first released, and I definitely never played it. What's in there?
The spy, the engineer, I believe, the demo man, and the soldier. Not in that order.
It just goes over them and like what their weapons are?
Yeah. It gives you a suggestion about what to use at long range, medium range, and short range.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a basic tutorial about how to use the weapons or their unique implements. So the spy, his disguise kit and his sapper kit. The engineer, his turrets and his dispenser. I did have a few problems with it. It does have that weapon selection problem where you have to scroll the mouse wheel and then click, and even if you hit 1, 2, or 3 or any of the numbers designating the item, the weapons that you're going to use or the items that you're going to use, you still have to click, which is a crappy gameplay mechanic that's held over from Half-Life.
Well, you can still quick switch though
between two weapons.
Yeah.
So This is something that's been in FPS games since I can remember. There's no reason for... I think this was in Doom. There's no reason for this crappy mechanic to exist, and I take issue with it. I think it's a Valve thing that they're just stubborn and they're refusing to move off of it.
It's funny you say that because I actually look at that menu periodically. Because, I'll forget which button is what on my engineer. Is this the one that destroys the things or builds them? Right, because you have 5 as an engineer and 4 as a spy.
Yeah, but you can figure that out just by pressing the button, and it's a lot quicker. And you can keep your eyes on the battlefield where they are supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess I never bothered it because I almost only cook switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then there's also the fact that the melee weapons are something that you have to fucking pick. You have to select them instead of just hitting a quick button like V or something like that, like in every other game. It seems to be an extremely poor design decision.
The melee weapons are very specific to each class. Like they're not a melee attack. They're that class's melee weapon, and they're very. So like the Scout's bat is. It is a weapon, but also the upgrades have very specific things. Like, one of them, you hit a baseball and you can stun someone at a distance.
Mm.
Like, if you could just hit V and do that, that'd be, not very balanced, right?
I still don't see why they couldn't just do it as V. That doesn't... I don't know. It seems crap to me. I don't agree with it.
No, see, I actually prefer this to the quick button. Because I feel like games that opt for the quick button, like hit V to melee, don't focus on the melee weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Counter-Strike is the knife that you have to pull out, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, they have a melee? It does,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I never use it. Because it's not... my gun's always... Well, I also use a shotgun, so I guess it doesn't really count.
I use it very often because when I get close to an enemy and I don't want to deplete my magazine, I hit him with a melee attack. And there are certain melee weapons in that game where you can, where they have different properties. So, for instance, there's these knuckle sort of things that have a taser effect, so they stun them. So, there you can do it. They just don't want to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think this is just a point where, like, our tastes differ, right? Like, I much prefer the way they do it in this than Payday or Call of Duty or whatever.
Yeah, right? Maybe, but I still feel like it's, I guess because they're Valve, they don't need to worry about attracting new players or making it comfortable for new players, because you'll either play it their way or you won't play it at all. And there's enough people who are going to hold up the company because of the fan base.
I mean,
it definitely seems very much against a new player experience, I found.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's like toggling your, switching to your melee weapon, I think is better. I don't know. That's a whole other can of worms. I like it, but I understand why other people wouldn't. But I think, I would not say that's a bad design decision. I think that's definitely like falls into like the taste category.
If you say so.
I like it, right? It's just kind of what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. The avatar customization that they've added in recently.
Yeah. That's not recent. That's been around for a while.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about it. The whole design philosophy of each one of the characters, each one of the classes, is that you know what they are capable of and what to expect from them at a glance. You can tell that immediately because of their body shape, their silhouette, essentially. When you start adding things like hats and customizables, it starts to change their shape and it makes it harder, especially for newer players, to tell what's going on, which classes are which, and most of them, in my opinion, look pretty fucking stupid.
Some of them kind of look crazy haphazard. I don't disagree, but I feel like the silhouettes don't.
Because as a new player, you might not have had this experience because you are already an old player when they implemented this sort of thing. But as a new player, as somebody who didn't have that much experience with it, I found it much more difficult to tell between the classes. It took me a long time to get used to it, and I didn't even really get used to it just because playing the engineer class, it was kind of hanging back more often. Clearly, it's one of those things where once it went free to play, they were trying to monetize it, and they're doing what every business does, what every game developer does, and they just try to see what they can charge for. So,
I mean, this was actually way before it went free to play.
Oh, well, that's even worse. But anyways, I found that to be pretty frustrating, as was the aspect where once you lose, you run around, and if you're the losing party, you end up running around with your hands up, which is cute the first couple of times. It just feels a little bit frustrating to have the winning team just come in and kill you again after you've lost.
So. Yeah, Chivalry does the same thing, and I always find it, like, it doesn't bother me, but I always just find it weird when games do that.
I hated it in that game, and Chivalry probably got it off of this game.
So at least in Chivalry, though, you it takes your weapon away. You can still fist fight.
Yeah, that's true.
So if for whatever reason the guy who won's not great, you can still sometimes kill him,
mm-hmm.
Which is super satisfying.
Oh, Man versus Machine. It seemed like it was pay to play to me. Is that the case? Because I don't think so.
I mean, because I logged into it twice, and I definitely didn't pay anything.
Because it looked like there were tickets that you had to buy.
Really?
So, at least that's what I saw. I don't know.
I definitely played, and I definitely didn't pay anything.
I don't know.
Or at least if it did, it took it out of my inventory without telling me.
There were certain things that I did like about the game, like playing as the engineer class. I like how, even when you're not in the vicinity of it, it has that pinging sound that indicates that the enemy's getting hit, and it beeps when your stuff's getting attacked, so it warns you about that without having to look up at it and see the energy bar going down.
Yeah.
So, and the spy raising his arm to indicate that he's ready to backstab is really helpful.
Yeah, that is a nice little animation that, it's subtle, but, like, it works really well. When you're, like, in range and he, like, readies it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think, I don't know, like, overall, I still really like this game.
Mm.
Well, like, I can totally see, I can definitely see.
If you like it, you like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can definitely see, like, every point you're making, I don't disagree with, for the most part. I mean, Team Fortress 2 is the, like, originator of the, like, let's have hats in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first it was just headgear. You, like, you can put, you know, get different things.
Yeah.
And then it, I think they opened it up to the Steam Workshop, which is why you see a lot of, like, crazy weapon designs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I saw a lot of people with, like, Christmas lights, and I don't know if that's a Workshop thing or a Steam thing.
Mm-hmm. It should have the option to turn it off for new players, at least, you know? So that way you don't see those styles so that you can get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. It's hard for me to comment. I mean, like, so very familiar with it already to be like, is, you know, does this look like, because I always knew who everything was. I can't really,
yeah,
I couldn't tell you if I thought it, like, if I agree that the silhouettes are difficult, because it's just so deep in my brain.
Well, it is a multiplayer FPS game, so it's inherently hostile to new players. So if you don't run the gauntlet and go through the hazing period, then you're not gonna be playing anyways. It is worth pointing out that the Steam page itself has, in its description, constantly updated with new game modes, maps, equipment, and most importantly, hats. That's kind of that's kind of fucking cheeky.
Yeah, I mean, people like it, right? Like, it's not like they're not, you know, they're providing something people want, regardless of what we feel about it, right?
Yeah, I guess. Let's talk a little bit about the level design. There were it definitely seems like there was a lot of care put into things like choke points and the spawns for the refills of items and that sort of thing. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, so the layout's great, and yeah, it's like there are some amazing choke points in a lot of these maps. Mm-hmm. But I actually, the thing that I want to point out that I think is so good about these maps is I will be in a fight, I'll run out of ammo, and without knowing that there's ammo somewhere, I can just, I get the sense by the map of where the ammo will be.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just go, oh, I'm just going to go there, because there's definitely ammo there, and I'm always right, because the layout is so well done.
Are you sure that that's not just owing to your familiarity with their design philosophy, having played this game so often?
I mean, so actually, a lot of these maps are maps that weren't around when I used to play.
Okay.
So, like, most of these I was playing for the first time.
Okay, fine. Again, they are obviously still following a certain design philosophy, because I didn't necessarily have the same experience that you did. So, because you were used to where the ammo was going to spawn and the health is going to spawn, because you're so used to having played this game as much as you have, do you think that that might have influenced your idea of where to find this sort of thing?
Well, yeah, right, because
you see what I'm saying? Because, like, in previous maps, say there's, like, a little, there's a place to go in that doesn't seem to have any other purpose but possibly to spawn items, to spawn refill packets.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I mean, right. Like, you would have to play a bunch to get an idea of what the layout's going to be like.
Mm.
But I'm saying, like, the design is such that it has a very interesting purposefulness to it, where, you know, you can identify choke points, and then you can kind of get a sense of the rest of the map based on that. Like,
sure.
This is a choke point, so there's going to be, you know, it's going to be at least two entrances from both teams converging into this point. There's going to be ammo and health nearby, but it's never going to be less than two kind of like room increments away.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of getting into that, you can be like, oh, I know it's not around this corner, which means it has to be around that corner. And you can kind of like just navigate your way that way.
Sure.
I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but like that's kind of, because like I was playing King of the Hill and I kept running out of ammo, but I had a really good medic keeping me alive, so I had to keep hunting for more stuff, and it always seemed to be exactly where I thought it would be.
Well, my point that I'm trying to make is the fact that because you have played other maps and have gotten used to going to certain points in those previous maps to find ammo and health, that playing these new maps, because they are based off of the same design philosophy as the maps you were more familiar with, it was a lot easier to find what you needed to, even though you had never played the map. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that is what I'm saying, right? It's that these maps are designed so well that I can understand the ones that I haven't played before.
Well, my point being is that regardless of how well the maps are being designed, and mind you, I'm not saying whether or not they are designed well in my statement, but what I'm saying is that because they have a consistent design philosophy, being familiar with a previous map means being familiar with the design philosophy of future maps. You get what I'm driving at?
Yeah. I don't...
It doesn't sound like it, but whatever. Is there a story to
this
game?
Yeah, oh man. The story is crazy. It is about two brothers who are warring. So if the red and blue are two teams put together by these brothers who are trying to, I think they're trying to get their family fortune. The announcer is like their aunt or something.
Huh.
So, well, if you watch all the Meet the videos, you get a sense of like the individual character's personality.
That's strange, because I got no sense that there was any kind of story by playing the game. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's clearly a non-issue in this game. You don't really need a story for this type of game.
Right, but there is a ton of interesting story that if you want it, you can go get.
Sure.
There's the whole Manco thing, and like
Mancode?
Manco? MANNCO.
Oh.
Like Manco. Okay. But you see, like, a lot of the stuff is like named with the flavor of like Manco. And it's this company, and there's like, all the maps have like billboards and stuff, and like all the signage for, you know, like red team, blue team.
Mm.
But it's like, red stands for, it's residential excavations and demolitions or something.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just all the, like, in-game, yeah, there's not a lot of it. It's mostly just, like, character personality and kind of, like, just stuff around the map and the announcer.
Sure.
But there's, like, they have that comic book and they have all the Meet the videos. They've released a lot of content external of the game that is, like, the story of it. And I think that's actually the way to do it for games like this, where the story really doesn't have business in a competitive first-person game like this.
Yeah, like if you're at work and you're thinking about it and you're just obsessing, man, I gotta get home and play more TF2, and you can go and open up the browser and still have a Team Fortress 2 experience without actually having to play the game, and you're getting a new experience that you wouldn't have had by playing the game.
Yeah.
So, or on your phone on the train or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting in general, right? So you don't have to be obsessed with Team Fortress to enjoy kind of like the work they're putting into the narrative.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it helps, so. Right? Like, but, well, and there's know. The whole thing. I mean, they had a great, I think one of the last things I played in was they had this interesting feud between the soldier and the demo man.
Mm-hmm.
And you were meant, like, you were supposed to play matches for like which side you wanted. And the winning side was going to get one item, and the losing side would get the other item.
Huh.
So you were competing to get an item for the class you wanted.
Oh, that's interesting anyways.
Yeah, people made all these, there was like all this fan art that they were making for like propaganda photos.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
That's cute.
I highly recommend checking them out. I will definitely link those in the show notes.
Mm.
Because they're great. I love them. My favorite one is a submission that didn't count because it was technically for a medic. But it was, support your soldier, be a medic today.
That's cute.
Yeah.
So, obviously the visual style is the most compelling part of this game because it defines so much of the gameplay, specifically being able to spot which different classes you're dealing with and how to approach the situation you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters, they look outstanding. They got a really good art team going on this game. Every single one has really excellent personality just based off of the way they look, and everything is cohesive. Everything shares a very consistent visual philosophy. The game worlds, the characters, the weapons, everything about it. What do you think of the art style?
I mean, I love it. I think comparing to, like, we played some games that I've described as flat and, like, really, like, kind of hard to look at because nothing kind of pops at you. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the exact opposite. This, like, everything feels vibrant and, like, real, and everything's immediately recognizable. You know where, like, to send your eyes. Mm-hmm. Everything is so well done. I love the color palette. Like, it's nice and bright without being, like, ostentatious. Mm-hmm. I love the character models. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is really interesting, and they have great just kind of personality in all of them. Mm-hmm. Especially, and then the voice acting too. Oh my God. Like, I love the Scout's voice. Like,
it's entertaining just to look at.
Yeah. So. No, exactly. And, like, just listening to everyone talk in the, like, they all do their, like, random taunts and stuff in the, like, pre-lobby room, and, like, mm-hmm. Scout's got that crazy, like, thick, like, Brooklyn accent, and the German medic, and the heavy Austrian accent on the heavy weapons guy, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that Austrian? I don't even know.
Australian, you mean?
He's not. Is that Australian?
I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention. Austrian is, like, how Arnold is.
Yeah.
So, if that's how he sounds like, then it is Austrian. So, real quick note on the voices. I do like how you can just hit E to call for a medic. Although, I don't know that anybody actually pays attention to that. Especially considering there's hardly any medics around.
Oh, so I play medic a lot. Mm-hmm.
And you go after that? Doesn't it have like a little icon or something like that?
Yeah, if you're in the red, the icon will be a different color.
I gotcha.
Which is super helpful. Yeah, and it's great because if you're wounded, you call medic. Because I'll pick like a heavy or a soldier or a pirate. I'll just kind of like hang on them because you get that 50% life boost, like shield.
Oh yeah.
But if someone calls medic, it means they're hurt. So I'll go heal them because it also charges my Uber faster, which is like when it hits 100%, I can make you invincible for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
So it's more helpful for me to
heal other people who are down on health.
Yeah.
Than just stick with the single.
But also keeping my team alive is super useful. But like I can't. Because it's first person, I can't look at everybody all the time.
Yeah.
So calling for medic, if you have a good medic, they will be on you.
Yeah.
As soon as they can. Mm-hmm. And I love playing medic. Like, I love it. But it runs into this problem. Like, we were talking about this before. People don't often roll medic, and you always need one.
Yeah.
So because I like medic, I end up playing it constantly because no one else wants to do it. Mm-hmm. So I play medic more than I would like to because I want to branch out, but I super enjoy it, and the team always needs it.
The syringe gun is his weapon, right?
Yeah, so it's technically his primary weapon is a syringe gun that it actually has decent damage, but it's difficult to use because it arcs just like with gravity, like really heavily, unlike the other guns. And his secondary is the medic gun, which is really the thing you use all the time, which just hold down to heal the person you're looking at, and it sticks to them as long as you don't let go, so you don't have to face them the whole time.
Yeah, that's definitely appreciated, especially when they go around a corner. It looks like you can hide behind the corner if they're close enough.
Yeah, well, so what I like to do is find a good spot where I can stand behind a wall, and they can go out and like do stuff, and I can just heal, because when I'm healing them, everyone's just targeting me if they can get at me, so. So, like, you know, part of being a good medic is either being really, like, shifty and just, like, really dancing around or finding, like, a good spot to shield yourself.
Yeah. I didn't play that much of him. I didn't last long as him because, again, I didn't really know how to play him very well. But he did seem kind of fun for what I did play of him. Again, I didn't really spend that much time playing as any of the other classes because that meant being out in the foray of people who have been playing this since 2007 when this game launched. So, if I'm not mistaken, it sounded like the sounds were recycled from Half-Life.
Oh, I'm sure there's probably a lot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all in the Source engine, right? So, like, it shares...
Okay. Okay, so the voice acting is great, right? Aside from the shotgun, every single one of the weapons sounded like crap to me. I did not like them.
I mean, I think the heavy gun is...
Even the heavy gun, in my opinion. And the shotgun didn't even necessarily sound good. It just sounded closer to what a shotgun was supposed to sound like, at least in terms of what I've seen. Obviously, I've never fired one in real life, so I can't say one way or the other. But, and again, I feel like I'm being super negative about this game, and I probably am, but was very disappointed because I really was hoping to like this game, especially when I first started playing it, because it looked so cool and I heard so many cool things about it. But I did not have fun with this game at all. I did not enjoy it. I don't know why that is. I feel like saying, oh, well, it's just a taste thing is something that is said about a game like this and not a game that another game will pop up where a lot of people like it and there's a large amount of hate that is directed to it. And they say, oh yeah, it's a shitty game. It's just people who like it are fucking stupid. Whereas this sort of game, it pops up. And if you don't like it, well, there's something wrong with you. You're just saying that because you suck at the game. You see what I'm saying?
I feel like team-based shooters are probably pretty divisive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just team-based shooters, but I'm saying, like, you know, other games have come around where there's a lot of people who hate the game and say, oh, it's a shitty game. Like Dead Island, for instance. You and I both had issues with that game, and neither of us really enjoyed it all that much, but there's plenty of people who love that game. You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of people who like games that most people that I have talked to would say it's a very bad game, and people who like the game don't know what they're talking about, or they haven't played a real game before. If they were to just play this, they would see how crap this game is.
I don't know. I mean, I think Dead Island is a weird example, right? I think the bottom line is it's okay to not like things, and it's okay to like things that aren't good.
Well, we're also dealing with video games here, and although video games on the whole are kind of a trivial sort of thing to take any sides on, it definitely seems like there are very definite opinions on specific games and being into certain things and not being into certain things. So, and granted, you know, a lot of that might be considered to be childish, but it still is a thing.
I think a lot of that is anything you spend a lot of time with, you're going to feel very attached to. So when someone says they don't like it, even if it's innocent, it can sometimes feel like they're saying that your opinion's wrong, which is not often the case that is what they mean. But if you spend 20 hours a week playing a game, right, you're going to feel a very strong connection to it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's where you get a lot of people that kind of defend things a little harder than other people would like.
Well, because I remember the console wars growing up, Nintendo versus Sega, and it was admittedly very childish, but it drove a huge market. I mean, we're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, and although it's kind of looked down on by the greater masses, it's not that much different than how politics seems to run, which obviously everybody sees it and knows, look, it can get very childish, it is very childish, and things are broken, things aren't working, etc. And they say the same things they've been saying for centuries, but somehow we still seem to get to the other side of things. But it controls the fate of lots of people. In politics, you're talking about whether or not we go to war or how our economy does. In the games industry, an overwhelming opinion develops on something, and that could mean somebody's livelihood. That could mean the livelihood of entire cultures of people. An entire state could be, if that's the center of that specific game, and that's the biggest economy in that area, a ton of people could be either very affluent or else they could be entirely put in the poorhouse just because of the success or failure of a specific philosophy of game.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it's to do with kind of like the fear of making the wrong decision, right? So like if you side with Nintendo, you don't want to be wrong, right? Because you're wrong, you made a bad decision. So if you defend it hard enough, your decision's right. Like you didn't make the wrong call, mm-hmm. I think is where, right? Like the fear of loss drives a lot of things. And I think this is just an extension of that.
I suppose so.
I mean, as someone who, when I was 10, participated pretty feverishly in the N64 is better than PlayStation argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to be fair, the Super Nintendo vs. Sega thing was pretty, you know, written in stone that Super Nintendo is better. But, yeah, I don't... People also enjoy to argue, right? Like, there's also that.
Yeah, the thing is I get the distinct impression that there are certain games and more specifically certain companies that people don't often say bad things about. And as much as I admire what Valve is doing and what they've done for games in general, it seems like when people look at them, very few people say anything negative about Valve. And I see that as a problem because that gives the impression that they are not necessarily infallible, but that they're not making any mistakes. And that if other people do what they're doing, they will be successful. And that doing something counter to what they're doing, that it will be a failure. You look at something like Apple. Everybody is ravenous to be the next Apple. You look at Google's design philosophy. They're trying to take over your web browser. They're trying to integrate everything as being connected, just like how Apple does things, because they're trying everything they can to corner a market so that they can get all of those billions of dollars. But the thing about Apple is that Apple is a unique case where it is less, it seems to be less the design philosophy itself and more of a cultural phenomenon. You side with Apple, you are picking sides. If you side with Apple, you are saying very resolutely, I am with these people. I am this type of person. When you look at my Apple device, it sets me apart from people who don't have Apple devices in a very distinct way. Usually what that has to do with is somehow that makes you better than people who don't have Apple devices because, oh, you're not using an Apple computer. Oh, well, you should really be using an Apple computer. If you're going to be doing anything serious with music or with art, you should be getting an Apple computer because that's the only real computer to be doing that with. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I distinctly remember that argument when, I was in like university trying to like buy a new computer, but I mean, Apple did a great job of selling that. Like Apple is different here. Like this is a unique product for a unique person, but it is just marketing. They're selling essentially the same product really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes it easier for people to make decisions about their, you know, consumer habits. If they're like, oh, I'll just buy these Apple products. And I think there is a value in making certain things that don't really matter, like, easier.
I suppose, but I definitely see the idea of people getting into Apple because they're buying into this. They're putting up X amount of dollars for the entry fee to say, I'm an Apple customer, therefore I am better than people who are not Apple customers in some way. They say that everything that Apple does with their devices is better. The interface is better and their integration. And there's a lot of buzzwords that I hear specifically from Apple customers and from Apple advertising that repeat themselves when I talk to Apple customers. And being a salesman myself for more than a decade now, I know how it works. You're going to say anything it takes to get that customer to buy the shit you're trying to sell them because that's what gets you the commission. That's what gets you the money. And what Apple says. They say it just works. They don't get viruses. It's easier to use, etc., right?
Yeah. And
anytime you talk to a Apple customer, they will say these same things. It just works. It doesn't get viruses. All of this, all of these buzz phrases. And so when they use an Apple product, they are essentially seeing what that Apple salesman has sold to them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And again, games are not phones or computers, but there's a lot of that philosophy going into it. Now, when I look at Team Fortress 2, for instance, it's a gorgeous looking game. It makes me happy looking at it. The designs of all of the people, the maps, the weapons, the way that everything looks, it's like candy for my brain. And basically what I'm driving at is that I suspect that there is, I get the feeling anyways, that there is some level of that creeping into this type of game where because it is triggering a certain endorphin in your brain, it makes it so that you'll overlook certain other poor design philosophies with the game. And I'm not saying that's happening with you or anyone else. I'm just throwing it out there because that's what I do, because I like to find fault with everything because I'm a bitter curmudgeon. Thoughts?
The Valve thing is difficult, right? Because they take this very methodical approach to the games they make. So there's not like a ton of them. And I think they're all very good. Right.
Well, it's a popular opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's interesting. There's definitely...
Well, it looks like a cartoon, and people like cartoons.
I love cartoons. Yeah, right, exactly. I love cartoons. Everyone loves cartoons.
I would argue that that's one of the reasons that The Simpsons is as popular as it is, because it was one of the first cartoons that we could watch after the rest of the cartoons went off the air, and so we clung to anything that resembled a cartoon as we were growing up, and because it got in deep like that, we gained an affection for it, because it's like one of our toys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people
And then we come back as adults and start to get the humor, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I hate The Simpsons. I used to watch it religiously, and the more I was watching it and like paying attention, the more I just didn't find it to be funny, and I felt like it seemed to be an overrated show. I don't think it was ever funny. A lot of people say, oh, it stopped being funny after this season, and I don't think it was ever funny.
We'll also have to disagree on this one. I fucking love The Simpsons.
Yeah, I know. You and so many other people, and I don't know. So, I take it you're going to end up playing this again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, all right. There is the last point that I want to make. I chose this game for this week because I recently heard about like the added competitive mode.
Uh-huh.
And their system is not good for their like matchmaking and how their competitive matches work.
It isn't?
It's 6-on-6, which I like.
Uh-huh.
Which, like, we were playing before, I was saying there's like too many people on this map. Because it used to be it was just servers. You come and you play like 12-on-12 sometimes. It's too chaotic. You can't really make... There's always bodies everywhere. It's kind of hard to make like real tactical decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The competitive mode is 6-on-6, which I really like. That's 2 out of 3. And that's all really fun. But the external part is not good. So like you log in to play competitive. And you hit the thing and it puts you into a like lobby room. And it says, waiting for players. You could be the first 6 people, and you're waiting for 6 more.
Uh-huh.
And you have to wait until it's 6-on-6. Like, it won't start.
Oh, that's a pain.
Any other way. Well, it's competitive. It can't be anything but fair teams.
Sure, yeah.
But you also can't leave. If you leave during that time, you get a penalty, and you can't play again for, like, I don't even know. I didn't do it, so I don't know how long, but it's probably, it says a significant amount of time.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to find out what a significant amount of time was, lest it be several hours, which is insane because I once waited 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
For someone to join, and the matches don't take 15 minutes. So that was incredibly infuriating because I wanted to play a quick one before I went to work,
uh-huh.
And I was stuck there waiting.
Yeah, it sounds like they took their cues from Blizzard in that respect with the dungeon finding in World of Warcraft?
Oh, no, I wouldn't... It's not like that. It's more like just normal matchmaking. It just locks you in.
Uh-huh.
And then it shows you... So, I'm still rank 1, but I've won... I'm on a 7 win streak.
Uh-huh.
I'm still rank 1. And I think it's because I play Medic. Because at the end of the match, it shows you your points. And assists count half as much as kills. And because I'm the Medic, I'm often kind of like hiding to protect myself. So I'm not always on the point when it gets captured.
Uh-huh.
So I tend to have less points, which is fine. I'm the Medic. I'm keeping people alive. But it, at the end of the match, it shows you your KDA, which I think is weird. So I have like a 1, a 0.5, something like that, because I'm a Medic. I once lost points on a win because I had more deaths than kills.
Huh.
Because I was the Medic.
Mm. And you're not killing anybody. You're focused right on keeping people alive. That's
yeah,
strange.
It's... I don't know if it's just like a fluke of the system, but yeah, and like, and you lose points. You can lose points, which I think is dumb. Incredibly dumb. Especially in your second match ever for competitive ranking. But, yeah. But other than that, the actual in-game part was great. It was 6-on-6 is a perfect number.
Mm-hmm.
The game modes they choose, it's either the 5 capture points where you... First one's neutral, and then you try to push to the next one to the next one. Or King of the Hill, which is the single point. You just hold it for 3 minutes, you fight back and forth over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are both perfect game modes for this. And I have been having a blast in competitive. I just think the system they use is awful.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll patch it, and maybe once people start getting more turned on to actually playing that mode, because it's only been around for a little while, right?
Yeah. I saw the video 10 days ago or something.
Mm.
I forgot to check to see when it actually went like live, but I think it's pretty recently.
Yeah. So that sounds to me like you're definitely going to be playing this game again. I might play this game again in the future because I have Poker Night, which is not a related game, but it gives you items to use in the game, and I'm a sucker for cosmetics in games, so I might check it out for that reason, but I don't think I'm going to be playing this game again that seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep cranking it.
Mm-hmm.
I like competitive... I think I'm going to keep cranking at the competitive mode because I think 6-on-6 is kind of like the perfect format for this.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only time you're going to get a good 6-on-6. Like, if you just pop into a casual match, it's not going to be like that.
Mm-hmm. I take it you'd recommend this to other players.
Yes, if you like shooters or you like class-based games, I think this is definitely a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
If you're kind of neutral in either of those, I think it's worth picking up and checking out and see if it's for you.
Well, it is free to play, so it's kind of hard not to give it some kind of recommendation to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think it's great. And in general, if someone were to just casually ask me if they should play it or not, I would say yes every time.
Mm.
But if you know you don't like these kind of games, it's not going to... Like, if you've played Overwatch and don't like it, you're probably not going to like Team Fortress 2. Because they're very similar in that, like, class-based mm-hmm. shooter.
Okay, well, that's interesting that you bring that game up with this. So it sounds like their Team Fortress 2 might have influenced Overwatch in some way?
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, Overwatch is Blizzard's Team Fortress 2.
I haven't played it, so.
Oh, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
If you like class-based shooters. But yeah, it's not like, I say it's Blizzard's Team Fortress 2. It's not like a, oh my god, they're ripping it off. It's a, that is a good, you know, Team Fortress is a good game that was a mod for Half-Life that other people have turned into other great games.
Mm.
I think it's great that other games take inspiration and like improve. And I think Overwatch is amazing, and I think they improved on a lot of Team Fortress in some great ways.
Huh. If what you're saying is true and it's very similar in terms of gameplay style, it doesn't sound like the sort of game that I'd actually be interested in. I personally would not recommend Team Fortress 2 to anybody. I mean, obviously, if you're a Valve fan, then you're probably already playing this, and most people have probably already tried this out just because it's free to play, and because Valve games always seem to get FaceTime, but I, sorry to say, I feel like this game is a god-awful piece of shit. I fucking hated almost every minute that I was playing it. It was very frustrating, and the fact that I felt like I wanted to like it, the fact that I was giving it every chance just because there were so many things that I liked in it, that I just ended up getting disappointed on the other end of it with the boring-ass game modes and the boring-ass gameplay, and it just felt really discouraging to me, and it, I just didn't enjoy it. Would you recommend it to developers?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you want to make a shooter, if you want to make a class-based game, these classes are... I mean, so if you're making art and you want to think about how to make your characters distinct and descriptive, Team Fortress does a great job of that, and it's a great thing to kind of like look at and take inspirations from. If you want your classes to feel different in their gameplay, Team Fortress does that really well too, and it has a bunch of extra like unlockable guns that all are very different but match the aesthetics and the playstyle of every class. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really difficult to do, and if you were planning on doing that for your game, I think Team Fortress is definitely a place to look.
Uh-huh. I'm, again, going to be the contrarian here, and I'm going to disagree with everything you just said. I don't feel like developers have anything really to learn from this other than the visual aesthetic informing gameplay, and if you really want that, you can just look at a still photo of all of the classes lined up as is on the Steam page. That's really the only thing that I feel could potentially bring anything new to games development, because otherwise it's just a mediocre shooter, and the gimmicks that they implement, specifically with the spy system and the engineer system, are mediocre and boring in their own right, and not really groundbreaking, and they didn't make me feel like I was playing a good game because they were in there. So, sorry to be so negative, but...
The point of this, right, is to get out, like, the different... Oh, God, points of view. There we go.
Yeah. So...
All right, what are we playing next week?
This week I'm going to be selecting Sanctum 1.
Okay.
Because...
Well, we were talking about this last week. I mean, you really like Sanctum 2.
I do, and I've only played a little bit of Sanctum 1, and I'm interested to see if I like this game. I've played 27 minutes of trying to figure out how to get the fucking game to work. I don't think I've ever completed a map, so...
Wait, what do you mean, you haven't gotten it to run?
No, I haven't been able to finish a map. So, I might have finished one map, but...
Okay. Well, I actually already still have it installed, so there's that.
Oh, wow. Well, neat. We're definitely going to have to try to get a game going on sometime this week, then.
Is there co-op in the first one?
Yep. Co-op, okay. And multiplayer.
Oh, really? Oh, I did not know that.
It's cool. Designed around that, I think.
Okay. Oh, that would explain a lot.
Yeah. The design philosophy seems to be fairly identical to the second game, in terms of the enemy types and the looks of the levels and all that sort of thing. Don't know if I'm excited, because obviously it's not the second game, so I'm a little bit nervous that I've gotten myself into something that I'm not going to want to spend much more time on, but I guess
we'll see what happens. Like that time I picked Dead Island.
Or that time that I... that
you picked Rogue Legacy.
That I picked Rogue Legacy, or that time that... Was it me who picked... Left 4 Dead 2?
No, that was me.
Okay.
So I got you two Valve games in a row. Yeah. Next time, Counter-Strike.
Fucking excellent.